Where are people getting COVID? We'll speak to the woman in charge of track and trace next.
This morning, Ryan Tuberty's joined by a longtime volunteer with one of the most famous frontline charities, the Samaritans. Join Ryan from 9 here on RTE Radio 1.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
From March 31st, you will no longer be able to listen to RTE's radio services on DAB, the digital audio broadcasting service. But don't worry, you can still listen to all your favourite RTE digital radio channels, like RTE Gold, on the RTE Radio Player or Irish Radio Player apps, online, on your TV or on your smart speaker. See rte.ie/keeplistening for more. Thank you.
NPHET will meet in around an hour's time to discuss what advice to give government in advance of its decision whether or not to ease any lockdown restrictions next week. Case numbers are rising around 2% a day. Last night, 604 new COVID cases were confirmed, with 13 more deaths. From this week, contact tracers will attempt to track contacts back 7 days before the showing of symptoms rather than the 48 hours, which it currently is. Let's talk now about the growing case numbers with Niamh O'Byrne, who is the HSE's National Lead for Testing and Tracing. Good morning, you're welcome.
Good morning, Audrey.
Have you noticed a sustained rise in numbers over the past 2 weeks, dating perhaps from around Mother's Day or St Patrick's Day?
So, yes, we have seen an increased number of lab cases over the last number of days and weeks, but it has steadied in the last couple of days, as you can see in the numbers reported, in or around the 600 every day.
And around 8,000 people, just under that, have been tested in the walk-in centres in Dublin and in Offaly, which opened last week for a week. What are you seeing there? What's the positivity rate there?
So, yeah, we opened the centres last Thursday in Great Gorman, Blanchardstown, Talla, Irishtown and in the Midlands. And they've been really well received in the local communities, with nearly 7,500 people or so coming up for testing. And the positivity rate overall is sitting now at 3% from the testing sites. While some of them had slightly more positivity than others, like Blanchardstown was running ahead of the others just on the most recent data this morning, it's come in line with the others at in or around 3%. The lower of the centres is in the Midlands at 2%, and in Grange Gorman it's at 2%, which is in the north inner city.
And are most of those people, Niamh, who are showing up for testing, they don't have symptoms, do they?
They don't have symptoms, no. We advised symptomatic people and to remain going through to their GP, as their likelihood of the disease would be higher and they would need their care. They are asymptomatic. People are coming forward in younger cohorts to these particular sites. Like, they in between the ages of 25 and 44 make up 41% of the people who have come forward for testing. And in fact, the positivity rate in the lower age cohort is the highest. So between the ages of 15 and 24, the positivity rate is 5%.
And are you expecting more of these centres to open?
Yes, as part of our enhanced testing and tracing, we're looking at more walk-in centres based on the local public health knowledge and advice as to where to go next. Again, you'd imagine we'll go to areas of high prevalence where public health thinks such an action would be advisable. But it's a step one. There are some other methods coming also that we would like to increase self-referral for asymptomatic people through the use of a phone line and through the use of online access to testing. So they'll be coming forward across the month of April.
Okay. And what are you seeing in terms of, what can you deduce from what's coming across your desk in terms of where people are getting infected?
So at a simplest level, it's an increase in social interaction. So when the tracers talk to contacts of confirmed cases and close contacts, they note a circumstance, which, so that could be travelling in a car, it could be having a coffee in somebody's house, attending a funeral or attending a family event. The extended family interactions are extending, and the number of the setting that we mark as social, so not a family setting or extended family, but a social setting, has increased in the last couple of weeks.
Okay, well, let's hear some people who were talking to our reporter Angus Cox over the weekend, because we remember Paul Reid of the HSE on the programme on Friday saying that play dates were a significant issue. I presume indoor play dates is what he's talking about. And Angus was speaking to people in County Dublin over the weekend and getting their views on play dates. Let's hear that.
I have four kids from the age of 12 down to 5. So all of playdate age. It's trickier with the eldest one. He's almost 13, so he has been going out on his bike and meeting his friends. But the others, no, they've been pretty much restricted to occupying themselves at home. I think everyone's circumstances are unique. I think people have to make decisions that are in the best interest of their family, but also within the wider context of what's going on. For us, I suppose we're conscious of vulnerable grandparents, and we've just made the choice to limit our social contacts. I do think that now that the kids are back in school, actually, that their social needs are more than catered for.
I have two, an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old. And to be honest, I'd like to see more about the data behind it. Because while I totally get people going into other people's houses and spending time inside, obviously that increases it. And I wouldn't be in favour of that. However, what does he mean by play dates? Like, if I go over to Stradbrook with my son and daughter and we're poking a ball around and a neighbour brings their kids as well, is that considered a play date? And I'd like to understand more about that, because I don't think the data is out there. And I think there would be more buy-in if there was more transparency around what they mean by play dates.
We've Easter coming up now. Do you think play dates should be allowed, or they shouldn't be at the moment?
The numbers have been pretty bad over the last number of weeks. I think they really shouldn't be allowed. I think it's going to be more challenging, though, as you said, with Easter coming up, school holidays at the moment for the next 2 weeks. I think that'll really pose a problem as well. So I think the parents will find it challenging, you know, to not let their kids meet their friends. And, you know, at the same time, people are working from home. It's very, very difficult.
My 9-year-old, I suppose, is the real play date that I would be organising if I was allowed. But so he's really missing out. I think at the moment the numbers are just too high. I feel if play dates are happening, will schools close? Will hospitals start getting busier again? As much as I'd love them to be happening, I just think we're not there yet.
Some parents there in South County Dublin talking to our reporter Angus Cox. We're still joined by Niamh O'Byrne, HSE's National Lead for Testing and Tracing. Niamh, listening to that, are you noticing an increase in children being infected?
So we're noticing an increase in the the referral levels of children, but that's down to a couple of things. When children go back to school, often there are more referrals because they go through their own GP with symptoms, mild symptoms of COVID, so parents would be conscientious and bring them through to their GP. And also once the schools open, once there is an index case in a school, public health will do a risk assessment and mass test in the class. So what we've noticed over the last number of weeks is we've had quite an increase in the number of mass testing that's going on. Mass testing in schools comes with really low positivity levels, but it does have high volume. So there you will see more referrals coming through for children, and as a consequence, there will be positive cases amongst that.
As we said, from this week, contact tracers will attempt to track contacts back for a week before the showing of symptoms. It's currently 48 hours. Will you be able to do that for everyone, or just a small number of cases?
So at the moment, when our tracers make contact with the confirmed case of COVID, they discuss with them where they picked up the disease, and they categorise that from the conversation. So at the moment, about 80% of people are either a close contact or acquired in a setting that we understand, like an outbreak or a healthcare setting. So it's about 20% of people who come under a category of what we call community transmission. And it's that category of people that we would need to spend more time on the phone with. So when someone says they don't know where they contracted the virus, that's when the teams now will talk to them and go through the last 7 days and ask additional questions as to where they might have been. What happens then is the local public health department where that person lives will look at that data and make a decision. Does more testing need to happen in any one of the locations the people were in? And the purpose of that would be to find any more people who may have contracted the virus in the same place that the case was actually at.
Okay. And do you have sufficient staff to do this? I mean, how many tracers do you have at the moment?
So we've over 830 tracers at the moment. The number fluctuates between 800 and 900. We have absolutely enough tracers to do this activity at this time. So why are we bringing it in at this time? Is it's the right time to do it? The cases are around 600. We've long said that would be the number we would look at and lower. And we will continue to do more extensive tracing, retrospective tracing, as time goes on and the number is lower. So we look at that a category of 600, 300 and 100. And the reason for that is we're in level five, of course, so there are less places people can be. And also the WHO would say this approach is viable on a downward trajectory and when you're starting to see an increase in the social settings, which is what we're seeing at the moment.
Yeah. And the criteria for close contact, that was always someone who has been less than 2 metres face to face with someone else for 15 minutes. I mean, has that changed? Because the virus has changed. The virus is far more transmissible now than it was last year. So I'm just wondering, should that criteria also change?
So we follow the advice from ECDC and from our public health doctors. So they meet very regularly on this topic and they would advise the testing and tracing programme of any changes in a definition of a close contact. So over time, as we continue to learn more about the virus, if changes come through, what we then is advise the contact tracers how to take that definition, how to understand that and how to apply it then to the people that they're on the phone with.
Yeah. What difference then do you hope moving to a 7-day track and trace, if that's possible to achieve in these cases, what difference do you hope that will make?
So, I mean, looking at it, the purpose of it would be to identify the source, which will let us know what are higher risk settings. So as we open up over the coming months, starting to understand what are the higher settings where there's higher prevalence and higher chance of transmission, and we can inform the public of what they are over and above what we already know. And the second piece would be any additional clusters or cases we might find as a result. So again, as things open up and people are in more places, what we would be able to do is look at a particular location and say, well, actually, we need to find out who else was in that place between the hours of 3 and 5. And are there any other people then who can get tested and may potentially have the virus? So again, we would have more mass testing to see if there are any additional cases we may find.
That's very time consuming, though, isn't it?
It is a time-consuming task. Again, that's part of why it needs to be done. It needs to be done in a time of lower prevalence. It needs to be done where in
but
the
regions.
But
it's not a lower prevalence, is it? I mean, there's over 600 cases now every day and has been like that for several weeks.
They are, but it has come down quite substantially from where it was, obviously. And looking at the trajectory and with the vaccine program, we would be hopeful that the cases can maintain that level or lower. So this activity will kind of enhance other work that we're doing.
Okay, thank you very much for talking to us, Niamh O'Byrne, HSE's national lead for testing and tracing.